Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Absolutely absurd performance by the Cowboys last night, and in a lot of ways absurd by the Washington football team as well. It's Chris Garland, Courtney Cronin, and in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and on SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course on your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. More on the Giants situation, as you heard just a few moments ago. In 8 minutes, we'll be joined by Mathias Kiwanuka, the former Giant defensive end, in just a bit. Last night, though, Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys absolutely destroy the Washington football team, 56-14. They clinch the division. And right now, you look in the NFC, and you've got clinching happening all over the place with the Bucks clinching their division as well. You've got five teams that are right now in the postseason. Yet, we look at the Packers, and they continue to roll at 12-3, and they are in that top spot in the NFC. So, Courtney, I put the question to you. Based off what we saw over the weekend from all of those teams involved, are you taking the Green Bay Packers in the NFC, or are you taking the field?
I'm not much of a gambler. Like, my brain wants to tell me, take more bites at the apple, Courtney. You have a better shot at winning instead of pushing all your chips onto one team. But I can't help right now but not push all my chips onto the Green Bay Packers. I think what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers in this stretch where they've gone 4-1 over their last five, 16 touchdowns, no interceptions, over nearly 1,600 passing yards in this stretch, they're getting hot at the right time. They look really good. And I know that he got stepped on again and we're worried about his toe, and he'll probably show it on Zoom this week, and then we'll be like, oh my God, it's toe gate again. But I think that the Packers are unstoppable right now, because I don't know what version of, when you're talking about teams that have clinched, I don't know what version I'm going to get of the Arizona Cardinals. They've lost three straight. I mean, they're lucky to still be in this thing at this moment. I don't know what version of the Los Angeles Rams I'm going to get. I watched Matthew Stafford nearly give that game. He put it in a bow and gave it to Anthony Barr in the Minnesota Vikings defense yesterday. I don't know what version of Dallas. I mean, you and I talked about this pre-show last night before Sunday Night Football kicked off, and I was wondering what Dallas team you're going to get. Washington is not a good football team right now. There's a lot going on. Their defense is nowhere close to where it was earlier in the season. Did they still lay a smackdown on them? Absolutely, and that should be taken into consideration. But can we see this Dallas team consistently look this good offensively? And I mean, yeah, Tampa, I mean, if you're throwing them in the field too, they're fine. Like, they can overcome injuries and all of that. I just have a lot of faith in what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are doing right now. Think about the way that they got past the Browns. They were 3-10 on third down on that Saturday night game. They didn't look awesome, like, you know, by and large in those third and long situations. Yet, because they've got the MVP playing quarterback for them, they're just fine. So I'm going with the Packers. Are you going to take the field?
I'm going to take the field right now, but it's not because I feel particularly great about anybody. The Cowboys, I think they look like, look, maybe I'm making too much off of one game. They have won four straight, and their defense has played much better, which actually is the more encouraging point to me. We can get more into whether or not Dak was actually in a slump, because he doesn't think that he was, as we'll hear in a minute. But I had some restored faith or renewed faith in Dallas in the way in which they have won over the last few games because of their defense. I have zero faith in the Cardinals right now. I have shaky faith in the Rams, even though I've been a big Rams guy all year, because Matthew Stafford was atrocious yesterday.
Yeah.
And just in talking to people out there this year, the feeling has been, listen, Matthew Stafford is great, and he's a good fit with Sean McVay, and he's going to be one of those guys who's going to have a terrific season. But he, in those weeks when he is bad, it is going to be really bad. And they happened to win that game yesterday, but that doesn't mean they will in the postseason. And I have to tell you, I don't even have that much faith in the Bucs. I really don't. And I won't go against Brady because that's really the premise for me on this whole thing is to bet on the Packers is to bet against Brady. And I guess in theory, you got two guys you're not supposed to bet against in Rodgers and Brady. But I don't feel great about where the Buccaneers are overall, even though they're 11-4 and clinched the division. I think they can be had. So one of those four teams to me, like not all four are going to lay an egg in the postseason. I expect one of them to be able to push the Packers to the brink.
I just worry about like which version of these teams you're going to get. Like you laid forth all of the weaknesses for all of these groups.
I know.
And it scares me because they're so vulnerable. Like when they show their weaknesses, they're not just like something that are like just like a little blip on the radar. It can last. Like look at Dallas's offensive concerns that lasted for four games in spite of them winning. We are still worried about the drops with the receivers. We are still worried about 10 other players letting Dak Prescott down and wondering if your defense predicated off turnovers is enough to carry you into the postseason. It's not like these are like small little things. Like Arizona, I cannot figure out what's wrong with their offense right now. And Kyler Murray said it himself on Saturday night. They're killing themselves. Like, that doesn't sound like a team that I want to have a lot of faith in going into the postseason. A team that like literally admits, like, yeah, we're literally self-sabotaging right now. Great idea. But with the Packers, I mean, we're talking so much about Aaron Rodgers. What about that defense? Like, in thinking how, like, you know, depleted their secondary has been in moments this season and players that they've had to play without. I think defensively, that's probably my only question mark, but I've seen them play up close. I saw them play Minnesota back, I think it was like week 12, week 11, something like that. And I was worried about their defense in that game because of how Kirk Cousins was able to pick them apart on some of these quick drives. But Rasul Douglas is playing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers gave him like the MVP type shout out yesterday saying that, you know, he's one of the superstars on their team as well. What a way to revive your career, by the way. And beyond that, I think defensively they can pressure quarterbacks. They can cover on the back end. They're in a pretty good spot.
They are. And they are in a better spot than we are used to seeing them in. You know, we're used to the Packers being about Aaron Rodgers. And that's it. Like, this is a group that I actually have faith in a little bit. And I know this sounds like I'm actually making the case more for the Packers than for the other four teams. It's just when I'm taking four other teams against one that I think is still capable of losing in the playoffs, I think they all have their vulnerabilities, even though the Packers are playing exceptionally well right now. But look at the Cowboys last night, and you throw up 56. Frankly, as good as they looked, I put more stock in the notion that it was about
Washington.
The Washington football team being awful. I put more stock in that, Courtney. And as far as the slump is concerned, here's Dak Prescott after the game asked if it's actually over.
You tell me. I never said we were in a slump. Those were your words. So I think it'd be hard for you to say that now. Yeah, tonight was great. Great performance by the offense. Great performance by the team. I mean, scoring on all three phases, scoring by all the different ways that we did on offense. Great team win. Great team effort.
Look, they're a bad team that they played last night, and a team that has really kind of fallen apart late in the year and has had really, really difficult things. The COVID situation, 5 days in between games, and obviously the whole situation, as tragic as it is, with Everett, the safety the other day with the car accident and losing somebody in that. It's just been a bizarre situation here for Washington for the last few weeks. But now I think that probably had a lot more to do with Washington looking really bad as opposed to the Cowboys looking amazing.
Yeah, but the thing with Dallas, they didn't leave anything in doubt. They were given a window to steamroll this team, and they did it. Like, it wasn't just like, you know, a one-possession game or what have you. Like, they left everything out there, which I think is great. But I've said this all along with the NFC versus the AFC in the playoff picture. There's 24 teams, remember, alive with still like 2 weeks left of the season. That's unheard of. Like, we have not seen this much parity in the NFL ever, I wouldn't think. But the NFC has always kind of been this top-heavy group where it's the Packers, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Bucks, the Cardinals. And then there's everybody else. It is such a closer race from the field in the AFC. Like, to me, it's the Chiefs, and then it's the field. But the difference between where teams stand in the field, I know we had Rex Ryan on. He said he was watching the Tennessee Titans. Careful with Tennessee. They're dangerous right now. The Bengals are dangerous right now, in spite of playing a really depleted secondary and defense for the Ravens yesterday. The Bills are obviously dangerous. I think the Colts are one of the most legit teams in the overall NFL picture right now. So I'd be, if we were doing this argument like on the AFC side of things, I'd be much more confident taking the field, because I think there's less deficiencies with those teams versus the Chiefs. I mean, again, they're head and shoulders above everybody else, but the NFC is different. There is a big gap between a lot of the rest of the teams, from like the top heavy ones to the bottom.
It's going to be, I'll tell you what, this year more than any, as much as we talk about the Chiefs versus everybody else, and the Packers, I do think that we will hit one or two of those surprises in the postseason, because we always seem to do it. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Joe Judge and Daniel Jones are going to be brought back to the Giants for next year.
It's pretty clear that Judge and Daniel Jones have a very good work relationship. I would be shocked if either one of them was not with the New York Giants next year.
It seems like a foregone conclusion at this point, but is it the right thing to do? Chris Garland, Courtney Cronin for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. Dr. Pepper, call in line. Join us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Right now, we welcome in former Giant Mathias Kiwanuka. Does a show every Sunday on ESPN New York, 98.7, who joins us right now. Mathias, it's Chris and Courtney. We appreciate a few minutes. And when we hear that it sounds like a foregone conclusion that Joe Judge and Daniel Jones are going to be back next year, do you believe it's the right move for the organization?
Yeah, I believe that bringing Joe Judge back is the right move for the organization right now. What he was asked to do, in my opinion, was to change the culture, to clean up the locker room, and to make the storyline about football. And I believe that he did that. Now, he still is, you know, he still has a lot of things left that he has to deliver, but I think it would have been premature to move away from him right now. I think next year is going to be his show year. He's going to have to put up some significant numbers, and they're going to have to win some games. When it comes to Daniel Jones, to be honest with you, I just believe that there's just not enough information to say, yes, we should have brought him back, or no, we shouldn't have. I think you bring him back unless you have a viable option or a replacement. And if they don't feel like they had a way to go in another direction, then it makes sense. But I would have been okay either way. Nothing personal to him. I think Daniel Jones is a great talent. I believe he has a future in the league, regardless of where it is. For whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out in New York thus far, but he's going to get one more shot.
Mathias, you mentioned how Joe Judge was brought in to bring the storyline back to being, you know, surrounding football, but haven't we kind of been looking at this team as a punchline for a lot of different things this year, whether it was all the stuff that happened in training camp with, you know, the fights and practices and, you know, running gassers after practice, the push-ups, all of that. And then on top of that, just like some of the undisciplined play, the special teams play from a special teams head coach that's supposed to be his expertise, yet that hasn't translated to the games. Or do you think that still falls under the football umbrella?
I think it still falls in the football umbrella. It's funny you brought it up. I mean, the punch, you know, Kadarius's punch, I mean, that was probably one of the most significant things. I think that the storylines that happen, look, it's not good. I'm not saying that the situation is good. What I'm saying is that we're not dealing with people being arrested. We're not dealing with people throwing punches at each other on the sidelines. We're not dealing with those things. There are a lot of things that need to get done. There are a lot of changes that still need to be made. You know, everybody needs to be evaluated, coaching staff and every individual player. This team, the way that it looks right now, is not going to be the same team that comes back next year, and nor should it be. What I'm saying is that there's an opportunity now to focus on football. It's bad football. Don't get me wrong. It was bad football all year long. There were tons and tons of mistakes. There's, problems at almost every position. So a lot of things need to change. A lot of things need to be fixed. I was holding out throughout the entire year to, remain positive and to not be another, part of the noise in the background that's calling for jobs prematurely. But at this point, it is time to evaluate. I think it's we've entered into that point where, okay, it's okay to say it. Hey, there's no hard feelings. This is the NFL. We need to get our best 11 guys on both sides of the ball on the field, and we need to get our best coaches on the sideline. And if you're not capable of doing it in this system, that doesn't mean that you're not capable of playing in the NFL. It just means that you don't fit here, and everybody needs to be evaluated, coaches on down.
Mathias Kiwanuka joining us. It's Chris Carlin, Courtney Cronin in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And he joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, so with all of that in mind, what are priorities one and two in your estimation for Joe Judge to change next year to have better success?
Part of it is outside of his control. I believe that, the front office needs to be solidified. Is Gettleman coming back? Is he not? What decisions is Joe Judge going to be allowed to make in terms of the personnel that's there? There needs to be installed a offensive system, and once you install that offensive system, then you need to decide what players are going to be featured in it. I mean, we can talk about the weapons that he has, that Daniel Jones is going to have at his disposal. We can talk about the running back situation, but I don't think that we can, unless you're going to build around a player or a group of players, then the system needs to be installed, and then the players need to be fit in after that. And then the development of Daniel Jones, the development of a quarterback, is one of the most important things. I think the defense made strides, but they're not where they need to be. I would like to see some veteran players brought in at almost every level of the defense, D-line, linebackers, and DBs as well, and get a little bit more veteran leadership, regardless of whether or not they understand the Giant way or if they understand the system right away. Bringing in older players and veteran players who understand how to work, how to take care of their bodies, how to compete. You know, when you watch the defense, there's so many guys who are standing around the pile when the ball is tackled. Everybody should be leaving their feet every single time to get the runner on the ground. And I think those are things that you learn by watching how the older players, how the players who have been around the league for a long time do it.
Mathias, how difficult do you think it's going to be? And granted, it is late December. Maybe the mayor of a family changes their mind and they want to clean house and they want a new head coach at the same time they'd be hiring a GM. But how difficult of a task and how difficult do you think it'll be to find a GM if they want to go and find an external candidate that's going to want to come in and already have to work with a head coach who's already there, who might be a lame duck head coach or might be somebody that is there on a short-term extension that he or she might not want to work with or might not see eye to eye with? Doesn't that kind of feel like that's a recipe that might not be the best one, where you don't have two people coming in on the same wavelength with the same plan? Do you see how that could potentially not work out?
I could see how it could not work out. I don't think that it's going to make the right GM candidate shy away from this job. Yeah, this is the New York Football Giants, and the Giants are in bad shape right now. If you come in as a GM and you're responsible for turning around this organization, that's a life changer right there. That's something that, they'll talk about for generations. So I think the right person with the right amount of confidence is still going to want this job. I don't think that you're married to Joe Judge forever. I believe that he's already had a couple, he's not going to have an extended lease. So if they bring a new guy in right now, yeah, he's married to him for the immediate future. But Joe Judge is not going to be there his entire term unless he decides that he is. So I think it's still a very, very appealing job, but it's difficult. It's going to be difficult, but the right person is not going to shy away from this job. I just think, is the right person available right now? They have to scour. They have to go and look and do their homework. And at this point, I believe that they, you know, it's reported that they already have been. So if they feel like they have the right candidate in a GM, then everything else will fall into place.
You know, Matthias, last one, you know, you talk at the beginning about how this is the New York Football Giants. Hasn't that mentality kind of gotten their way in a little bit over the last 10 years and not adapting here moving forward? Because it feels like, all right, it's the Giants, but the way that they've been doing things doesn't work anymore.
In what way? What do you mean? Has it gotten in their way?
All right. For instance, just they've always wanted to hire people that had a certain either connection to the organization or that are a certain way, as if Joe Judge kind of feels like he would be that Giant kind of head coach. Maybe it's time to start thinking outside the Giants box.
See, I understand that the optics look that way. I don't feel as though at this point ownership would be locked into finding somebody that has ties to the organization. I think they would be willing to go outside and think outside the box. I don't know that they would do that necessarily with a coach. I don't think they want a renegade type coach or anything like that. I think these are decisions that are made with the interest of like the longevity of the organization. So to struggle for a year or two, I mean, it's been a long time. Don't misconstrue it. To struggle for a while you're trying to build the foundation, I think is kind of the mentality, right? So we've been struggling, or the Giants have been struggling. In my opinion, the foundation has been built. The locker room has been changed. Now it's time to go out and get performers. It's time to go out and get some dogs. It's time to go out and get some pure athletes with the understanding that, yeah, there may be some issues with them, but we'll be able to maintain the overall culture. It's not going to overrun the building. So I don't think that the Giants necessarily are going to be stuck in that same mentality. I don't see it being realistic, because I don't see them winning without going outside the box, to be honest with you. I think it's time that that, you know, decisions are made to just help get some wins, you know, basically.
Matthias, appreciate the insight. Great stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Matthias Kiwanuka, former Giant, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It's Chris Carlin and Courtney Cronin. And for the fellas today, one big win for the Queen City yesterday. Are they going to make it 2 for 2?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Joe has the ball, drops back three steps. He fires. Boom. And it is caught by T. Higgins. Touchdown, Bengals. Hauls in Burrow's fourth touchdown pass of the game. It's the first time in Joe Burrow's NFL career he's thrown four or more.
Everything's turning up Bengals. All right, maybe not quite, but still, they are in prime position in the AFC North. Chris Garland, Courtney Cronin in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. That's where we go right now to welcome in Tony Pike of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, the former Cincinnati Bearcats quarterback. He joins us right now. And Tony, it's Chris and Courtney on ESPN Radio. So how impressed were you with Joe Burrow's 525-yard performance yesterday?
I mean, to be honest, it was one of the most impressive performances I can remember watching from a quarterback in this league. I mean, if you look at, you know, just the picture of where Joe Burrow was a year ago, and there's videos of him on Christmas, and he's just coming out of surgery. The question in Cincinnati was, could Joe Burrow play football this year? Could Joe Burrow start the regular season? Would there be any limitations? And here we are a year later, we're talking about Joe Burrow against the Baltimore Ravens throwing for 525 yards. We're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals have swept the Steelers and the Ravens in the same season. And going into the new year, the Cincinnati Bengals atop the AFC North. It is, it's been truly remarkable.
Was this the best game of his NFL career? Because I remember dating back to the 49ers game, we were wondering then, but statistically speaking, these numbers stand apart. Full package, though. Do you think that this was the best Joe Burrow we've seen in the NFL?
Yeah, and I do think that he had that little bit of a spark from Wink Martindale in his comments earlier in the week, but it's just it's an aura about how Joe Burrow plays the game and how he elevates his teammates. You know, you go back to that San Francisco game. If the ball isn't taken out of his hands at the end of the game, we're talking about Joe Burrow leading an improbable comeback, right? 14 points down in the fourth quarter, he comes back and leads his team. They fall just short, but from a complete standpoint, from start to finish, it's the most clean that we've seen Joe Burrow. And, you know, as we're looking at that here in Cincinnati, you go back, you look at the cast of characters on offense, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, all under contract through 2023. So it really does feel like the start, the tip of the iceberg for what this offense can be more consistently.
Tony Pike joining us. He of ESPN Radio 1530 in Cincinnati. Tony, what's your biggest concern with the Bengals right now?
You know, they just go through lulls sometimes on offense. And they start slow at times. You know, you look at where this team was, they beat Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, and they've got huge opportunities against the Chargers and the 49ers back-to-back at home, and they go down 24-0 to the Chargers before getting back into that game, and then they are just riddled by turnovers against the San Francisco 49ers. If they're playing their best, I really do think this roster is one of the best in the AFC. They've invested on defense. The defense is so much improved. But they've been careless. As good as we've talked about Joe Burrow being, he's been sacked a bunch. He's turned the ball over a bunch. So there are things to clean up. But the feeling now is if this team doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, they have a chance to go out and win each game.
I want to touch on what you said defensively. The only blemish I think you can really look at from this game against the Ravens yesterday was maybe their third down defense. There are a couple third and long situations that they were in that they allowed the Ravens to convert, but they are going against a Chiefs team next week that went 4-11 on third down, so maybe there's some silver lining there and some motivation they can take into that game. But how do you think they fix that? Like, has there anything that's been talked about that being kind of this bugaboo for this team?
Outside of Trey Hendrickson, they need to be better at rushing the passer. And that has been a problem for them, specifically on third downs, is that once Trey Hendrickson is neutralized or doubled, who's going to be the next guy to step up? You know, this team has, over the past two seasons, has invested heavily on that defensive side of the ball with Trey Hendrickson, Larry Ogunjobi, DJ Reader. You think of Awuzie was brought into the secondary, Mike Hilton, Von Bell. All of those additions have paid off. They just need to find ways that they can get after the passer with just four. Once they have to start committing more people to the pass rush, it does leave them vulnerable in the secondary. But, you know, from a consistency standpoint, they've been pretty solid all year long, and Trey Hendrickson has certainly been a huge catalyst for that.
Tony Pike, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, the former Bearcats quarterback. And, of course, they're up next on Friday, Tony, as they take on Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. So with that being the case, how are people feeling about the Bearcats right now being a heavy underdog in this game and going into this game? What's the feeling around them right now?
You know, there's a lot of people in Cincinnati that have an optimism about this game. And I think from a national level, I don't think people realize much of what the Bearcats possess. And you look at that game, they went on the road, they beat Notre Dame by double digits. That was probably two good quarters of football. I mean, they have rarely played four good quarters this year. And while that's a concern, it also leaves reason for hope, because they're going to lose 30 players after this season. They've got six players going to the Senior Bowl. They've got eight or nine guys that are going to be drafted. The feeling for me is if you can get past the name on that jersey and who's coaching the team on the other sideline, because that's a big part of this, right? You're in Dallas. That's Nick Saban. It's Alabama. It's the Heisman Trophy winner. I think from an X's and O's standpoint, they match up well. Because you look at Bryce Young and Jamison Williams, well, the strength of the Bearcats is their secondary. They've got a consensus All-American in Sauce Gardner. They've got the Thorpe winner and Kobe Bryant, both anchoring that secondary. Offensively, Des Ritter is projected to be a first or second round pick at quarterback. Jerome Ford, the running back, started his career at Alabama. They have matchups on the outside offensively that they can exploit. And I do think it helps them that they went toe-to-toe with Georgia last year in that Peach Bowl. So, you know, there's not this naive feeling that they're going to go and take care of business easy. It would take UC's best game to have them given a chance in the fourth quarter. But if they do play that, I do think they can go toe-to-toe with Alabama.
They were undefeated this season. Luke Fickell has been with the Bearcats since the 2017 season. We know that he's gotten some looks for other jobs elsewhere, even in the NFL, yeah. Getting looked at by the Detroit Lions last year. Two-part question here. I mean, do you think that the NFL is still a goal of his? Do you think that after this season, regardless what might happen, he might look to take on a bigger job somewhere else and do what he did at Cincinnati elsewhere? And on top of that, what do you think he's meant to this Cincinnati program that's now playing on the biggest stage in college football?
Well, I'll start with the second. He has brought a sense of security to this job. If you go back to Cincinnati football and their history, Mark D'Antonio, Brian Kelly, Butch Jones all left great impacts on the city of Cincinnati and on this football program, but they all used it to get to the next step. They tried to get around that when they hired Tommy Tuberville, who had already kind of been at the top, and then they kind of saw the results of where that led. So they give Luke Fickell the chance, and he has brought this family feel. He has brought this blue-collar, go-to-work. He's recruited Ohio heavily. He's meant so much, and now they're working on an indoor facility. He's changed this program in so many ways. And to answer the first part, you know, I think there's always going to be a concern at Cincinnati because every time another job has come open, we've heard Luke Fickell's name attached to it, right? I mean, you look at the jobs that have been open, Notre Dame, USC, LSU, every one of these jobs, Luke Fickell's name is thrown around. And yet here we are going into 2022, and Luke Fickell's still the head coach at the University of Cincinnati. He's got a huge family. His family loves it here. His son is an offensive lineman on this team who's got 3 years left. I truly do feel that Luke Fickell is here to stay. And I think down the road he'll be interested in the NFL jobs. But I think he really enjoys where he's at right now. He enjoys his staff. And this is a program that in 2023 is going to be heading into the Big 12. So more opportunities come with that. I think Luke Fickell's in a great spot.
Tony, appreciate it very much. Big week in Cincinnati, then followed up Sunday, Kansas City in town. Thanks again for the time.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Tony Pike, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. The Goodyear Cotton Bowl and Capital One Orange Bowl are this week's hot ticket, brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats rewards, your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Chris Carlin, Courtney Cronin, in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It's the Saints and Dolphins on Monday Night Football, and the Saints reached out to... Wait, what? They reached out to who? To play quarterback? That's next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Chris Carlin, Courtney Cronin, in for Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. This Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Saints and the Dolphins tonight. There's some irony in there a little bit, because there was a story late last week that the New Orleans Saints, prior to signing Blake Bortles, actually reached out to Drew Brees to see if he had any interest in coming back as kind of an emergency quarterback for the Saints. They apparently also might have reached out to Philip Rivers as well to see where his head was at before signing Blake Bortles, as we said. I see, that's something, Courtney, if that had happened, like, that would legit bum me out. Like, just let it be what it is. There's no need to add a little what you think is a cherry on top of the sundae, when in actuality it's like putting a pickle on top of the sundae, or something you just would never want.
I just thought it was funny, considering the circumstances, that they would throw this Hail Mary to try to get Drew Brees to come out of retirement for a game, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I can't see it going beyond that. But man, I had a feeling this would happen. I think Amber Wilson and I were co-hosting Greeny on Friday, when it's like, man, top two quarterbacks are out, fourth round pick Ian Book, it's your moment, and you don't have anybody else on the roster. So of course they were going to go and have to sign some veteran free agent backup, and it turns out to be Blake Bortles. But there was a part of me that wished it would have been Drew Brees. There really was. Like, I wanted to see it happen, because when has that, can you name anything off the top of your head, like, in football, when has that happened? I mean, yeah, we've seen it in baseball, guys coming, you know, doing that every once in a while. And now, you know, with the replacement players in the NBA, you're seeing Joe Johnson get another shot at glory at 40 years old. But to see Drew Brees, who knows this offense, come back and get to play in this game and keep the Saints' playoff hopes alive, I was kind of secretly hoping for it. I love a good storyline, and it's not even a comeback story. It's just like, you know, an awesome story of, hey, this guy can still do it. I mean, not for an 18-week schedule, but he could do it for one game. I'm all for it.
I don't know. If he ends up in that game, see, I don't want to see it, because I don't want to see him just get absolutely demolished. When you haven't played all year and your head has not been in it, it's hard to imagine. Like, even if you're the emergency guy, the emergency can happen. And if you're there and in that. I just don't want to see that for a legendary figure in the history of the organization. And I give Breeze credit for saying no, because the easier thing would have been somewhat to say yes. And I say there was irony involved because it is the Dolphins who he originally wanted to play for and sign with when Nick Saban was there. And the Saints, who, of course, he ended up going and setting all these incredible records with. And Monday Night Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Antonio Brown going off yesterday, and then after the game, after he had 10 catches for 101 yards, popped off a little bit as well when Jenna Lane, who covers the Bucs for ESPN Radio, or for ESPN NFL Nation, excuse me, dared ask him about his situation. Here's Jenna and that whole exchange yesterday with Antonio Brown.
Coach Arians had told you when you came to this team, you know, you screw up one time and you're done. And some people would deem what happened as a screw up, but Coach Arians stood by your side and he brought you back. Just what did it mean for you after being here for a year to have a coach standing in your corner?
Next question. We just want to talk about this game. We don't want to waste no time with you guys writing in bogus.
Respectfully, yeah. Antonio, we haven't talked to you yet. I don't want to talk about that.
You guys is all drama. It's all about football. We don't talk about Carolina. I don't want to talk to you guys.
Okay. All right.
We can talk about Carolina, or I don't want to talk to you guys. That's a real mature way to handle things.
Here's one quickly for you, though. This is from Peter King this morning. Bruce Arians on the whole one and done bit. When you and I talked last year, we were talking about old experiences. He came to us. He was a model citizen. There was a new history, and he goes on from there. Come on. Come on.
Different rules for different players. Players who are much more impactful to your team are going to have to play by a different set of standards. But good for Jenna Lane. Again, I also love, like, she's definitely using her millennial card right now with the whole respectfully thing. Like, that's a good line that she threw in there to let Antonio Brown know that she does not play. So good for you for holding his feet to the fire on that.
Well, he just looked like a jackass in the moment, and it was unnecessary on his part, and it's what always drives me nuts in those spots. It's such a simple answer, and they just end up choosing the wrong route with it. But the Bucs win their division thanks in large part to Brown's performance yesterday. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.